Listen to today's Ross Report to hear about all the latest Patriots transactions. Hi, I'm Lori Boreski, and you're listening to the Ross Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's September 1st here at Gillette Stadium, and we have Paul Perullo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale talk about all the latest transactions with the roster, including some predictions.
Thanks, Lori. Well, preseason's over, guys. Got a roster to break down here. Four games in the books. Some injuries probably going to play a role in this. Barry Gardner. Apparently lost for the season, I would imagine, with a broken leg or a broken ankle, depending on which account you read. Does this spell, you know, maybe a second chance for a guy like Monty Beisel? Well,
yes, I think it does. I thought for sure, moving all along, that he was going to be on the outs because I don't think he can contribute defensively. But you got to have numbers. You got to have bodies you can throw out there in case. And then you throw in the special team side where not only Gardner clearly out for the year, but questions about Tabucky Jones after we saw him grabbing his leg in the second-to-last preseason game and what his status might be. Mitchell out. We know Beisel has the athleticism and can run around on special teams and play a role there. So, yeah, I think he earned himself a spot by virtue of injuries to other players.
Are we all in agreement that Gardner was, you know, I don't want to say a lock, but, you know.
Ahead of Beisel.
Yeah, not only, well, definitely ahead of Beisel, but pretty comfortable in his roster spot.
I think so. And Andy mentioned the word bodies. That's all to me that Beisel is, because, you know, I actually kind of like the guy and was rooting for him, but watching him play this preseason, it actually seems like he might have gotten worse, if that's possible.
It appears that he's let the situation kind of affect him mentally, and that's affecting his performance on the field. He appears to have, like, his body language, and I'm not a big fan of body language talk, but his body language isn't good. He appears to be a defeated guy.
And if it can happen, he cares too much, I think.
Yeah.
He tries too hard almost, it seems like at times, and doesn't just naturally let the play happen. You know, he's diving to make that arm tackle up high, and that's when he gets in trouble. And I think we saw last year with some of his explosions and things said on the radio, he does let his emotions get the best of him at times, and I think we've seen that.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't want to take too much time with Beisel here, but he wasn't really prevalent on most of the special teams units throughout the preseason. But maybe was that because they really didn't feel like he was part of the plans, and they were figuring, let's work some other guys, a guy like Gardner, for example, who might have a role as a backup defender as well as special teams. Maybe Beisel will be a better special teamer.
That could be.
I don't know.
I mean, that's a plausible idea. And I got to tell you, I still won't be shocked if he's among the cuts that are announced.
No, I'm not.
You know, I think
there's still
a chance that he's cut, and they feel better with a guy like Eric Alexander or Pierre Woods or somebody else that they can fit in
Pierre Woods may be a guy that may have an emergency. Too.
So I wouldn't be shocked if Beisel still goes.
No, the thing about Beisel is, you know, you can't fault his effort. He tries hard. He's a hard worker. He's just not very good at what the Patriots need him to do, and that's a problem when you're playing in a Bill Belichick defense, obviously.
And now in terms of the roster makeup here, probably learned something that we've all been, you know, saying all along. Looks like only two quarterbacks going to break camp here. Corey Bramlett last night did get his first, traditional action. But when Troy Brown's out there in the second quarter taking snaps, you got to think that that's a contingency plan for him to be the third quarterback. So looks like Bramlett, perhaps ends up on the practice squad or something, but it doesn't look like he's part of the future.
And the guy who ruined the whole night for me was Patrick Cobbs. That would have been like third down and four. We would have had to seen Troy Brown throw a pass. That would have been interesting if Cobbs didn't fumble.
Andy and I were talking about that. You think he would have let him throw?
I would have loved to have seen it. But you're right. The best chance and the only chance for Bramlett would be the practice squad at this point.
Okay, now, in terms of overall news here from our last podcast, obviously the deadline was set after we did our podcast last week for the Deion Branch trade situation. Well, today's September 1st. Last week, around this time, a little later than this, the Patriots released a statement saying that they would allow Deion Branch to seek a trade, and they gave him a one-week window to do so. That week is up today. I don't know if we'll get an official word over anything in terms of any offers they get. I don't think the Patriots are going to say, you know, we've mulled the offers that Deion Branch and his agent have given to us. But what can we expect here? I haven't heard a thing. I know you guys, you know, haven't heard anything definitively either. Boston Globe today I didn't even read Borges' story.
Was the Vikings and the Jets.
You know, the Vikings make a lot of sense with their situation with Corin Robinson.
According to Borges, two teams, the Vikings and the Jets, have made significant offers, meaning in
branches. But no details in them.
No, no details. But he said...
Sounds like agent speak to me.
They've made the offers that Branch was looking for to prove his worth. So we'll have to see what happens from there.
And the Jets one is when we talked about last week in the office about maybe the Jets do it just to sort of blow the market up a little bit for Deion Branch. Even if you don't get him, you are adversely affecting
kind of
maybe
like a
the
Red
Patriots
Sox, Yankees
cap.
Thing.
Yes,
that's
no
good
question.
Business. That's good
and,
business.
And they may have an offer. I know they're trying to unload Justin McCarron's, right? Mm-hmm. So in terms of a trade, maybe they're saying McCarron's in a draft pick, and they'll give Branch some sort of contract that he's comfortable with. But, yeah, it's good business for them to just sort of tweak the Patriots here in what they're trying to do.
And that's a good possibility because, you know, I know a lot of people were upset that the Broncos only got a second-round pick for Javon Walker, but he didn't want to play there anymore.
Right.
And the Broncos got the best offer they could for him. So if Branch really doesn't want to be here anymore and you can get a McCarron's and a first-day draft pick for Branch, that's a pretty good deal.
You're talking about Lilly or the Broncos acquiring Walker?
I'm acquiring Javon Walker.
The Packers, I meant. Just wanted to clarify.
Yeah,
I knew what you were talking about, but
he just didn't want to play there anymore. So what are the Packers going to do? You know, keep him on the team. And
right.
So if Andy's trade proposal was to go through, I think that would be a decent trade for the Patriots.
Yeah, now let's try to break this down here wide receiver-wise, with and without Branch. You know, did Bam Childress, with a couple of solid preseason games to close out the summer, did he earn himself a roster spot?
I think so.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, he was the favored target last week, 6 for 119 or something against the Giants.
He gets open.
And he's been in the
open
system.
Better than those other guys
get
open.
John Stone and Kelvin Kite have been given opportunities, and they haven't.
Stone finally showed up a little last night, but
Childress,
for the most part, those guys haven't been open. And
right.
I agree with you guys.
Childress is in the system. You know, I mean, he's been in the system now going on more than a year, so he's probably the most comfortable with the offense. The quarterbacks on and off the field are probably most comfortable with him in terms of what he's capable of. And if Deion's not in uniform, you're going to need wide receiver bodies, so I would assume he's at the top of the list in that line.
And it's you know, it's getting a little touchy. If Branch doesn't show and Chad Jackson can't play, you're down to Troy Brown and Rashay Caldwell. Caldwell's kind of a mystery, and Brown is, you know, approaching 50 years old. So if one of those guys doesn't pan out or goes down or so, now we're, you know, that's a mess we don't even want to think of.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see how many he ends up keeping as well. I mean, if Branch is out of the picture, do you need an extra guy that maybe you weren't necessarily relying on because of all of the uncertainty that you just talked about, Tom? Do you need maybe Childress and a guy like Stone?
I think he might have to go out and sign somebody at that point. As much as
I would imagine over this weekend, and we should add, as we're producing this podcast right now, cuts do not have to be made until 4 p.m. tomorrow. On Saturday, September 2nd, is when the final cuts, and every team will have to be down at the 53-man limit. That's when that needs to be done. So we'll have to figure out from there what ends up going
on. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a linebacker or so. I know we let Oliver Hoyt. But I'm just bringing him up because he's played very well in Dallas, and he's kind of their Patrick Cobbs. They're not sure what to do with him. But my guess is there's probably not going to be a roster spot for him. We know there was New England scouts there looking at Dallas players. We know they had him in before the draft. So maybe that's a young guy, someone like that they bring in, not to play right away in this season, but a guy maybe they think they can develop.
And the other aspect of that I think would make it appealing is we always talk about, well, it's difficult at this time to just bring a guy in, teach him offense or defense,
right,
and expect. Well, the Dallas system is probably similar enough so that he has a somewhat head start on learning what his role would be in this scheme. So that might help him get acclimated
and
to the system.
Now that Parcells and Belichick have been talking, it's probably the exact same.
That's true.
Okay, before we wrap this up here, I'm not going to go through the entire 53 men and see who can predict what, but throw out a couple of names here, and we'll, you know, just give me, you know, yes or no with maybe a comment or two. Jonathan Sullivan, on or off?
Off.
Off. I just don't think he can play at all.
Eric Warfield.
On.
I'm going to say on because Tabucky Jones might be out for the season, and I think Warfield can play a little safety.
Chad Scott?
On.
Who else?
Monty Beisel. Billy Yates.
On.
Gene Merchkowski.
Off.
Wow. Kelvin Kite. Tom's
off.
Boy.
he was my boy in practice. There's practice players and there's game players.
And we all think Patrick Cobb's probably practice squad.
Yes.
I think we all agree on that. Mm-hmm. And I probably agree with all of the picks as well. Some of these injuries here, I'm wondering in terms of special teams. There was a question in the post-game press conference last night, which I thought was a pretty good one. You know, you're losing Mel Mitchell now, Barry Gardner, Tabucky Jones possibly. And I don't know how serious that injury is, but it didn't look good. It looked like a pretty serious hamstring kind of deal. These are guys that are real core special teams players. You wonder if there's some concern there.
I think you still have a strong core with, you obviously have Izzo and Davis,
right,
the two real core guys. Banta Kane, assuming you don't have to put him in such a role on defense where you feel like it takes him out of special teams. Mike Wright, I feel like, has become a core guy on this team. And you need a couple of the others to step up, whether it's a James Sanders to step up, be a core guy. Eric Alexander, Pierre Woods, you know, one of the young linebackers who are in the mix to make the roster. So if those guys, or even the tight ends, you know, a Garrett Mills, a Heath Evans, I think you have enough talent there where you're not saying there's a huge drop-off.
Yeah. What about Pierre Woods, on or off? What do you guys think?
I'm going to say on for now. I will say, I'm going to have my one disclaimer. I think the Patriots are going to be making some additions of guys that aren't here right now. Once cuts are made, I think maybe the Patriots' initial cut might be down below 53, and they might make way to sign a guy or two. Or maybe in their mind it'll be that they won't actually go below, but in their mind they might say, we'll keep Woods, but if we get someone else, you know, we might be able to plug a guy in.
Right.
You know, so it'll be interesting. Again, cuts tomorrow. Make sure you check out Patriots.com. We'll have those up posted as soon as we receive word. And this time next week will be our final podcast before the regular season, our final roster report podcast before the season begins with the opener on September 10th against Buffalo. So that's going to put a wrap on the roster report for this week. Back to you, Lori.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next Friday for an all-new Ross Report podcast. Remember to check Patriots.com for all the latest information. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!